Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast right here at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. I'm your host, Dustin Coffin. Please subscribe just right there. Click that subscribe button. Share with your friends. Follow us across the board at the Comedy Club KC or online at thecomedyclubkc.com to see all of our upcoming shows. All right, today we kind of have a special episode. It's a lot of fun. It's going to be very nostalgic. A little local here to Kansas City. I'm joined by Dustin Slentz and Bryce Stanley. Hi, guys.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for coming up. So this kind of came up a kind of a last minute thing. I always knew that you were the last comic to perform for Stanford's.
Correct, yes.
Right,
and then, my greatest credit. When they bury me, put that on my headstone, dude. That's the best credit I'll ever have.
We all thank you for closing. No, and then it came up very last minute, even tonight, that you were like, I was the last comic to perform at the Legends Room.
Yes.
And so I was like, well, man, we got the Club Killers here, and it would be a lot of fun to kind of get you guys together and, I don't know, talk about just... I mean, because that club had a lot of history and had a reputation.
It's infamous, dude. People still talk about it.
We're still talking about it.
Right.
You know, and a lot of history, a lot of stories. I mean, they did, for a while, a lot of good and created a lot of talent, but they also kind of buried comedy in Kansas City on certain burnt bridges for a lot of, like, really good comedians.
They sure did.
Like, people who didn't want to work anymore and stuff like that. So... It was interesting. I know when I started this venture, they were in the room you closed, that 8th and Walnut, the little 50-seater. Mm-hmm. They were still operating when I started this, but they were both passed by the time we opened, which I was a little bit like...
They should see it.
You know, it was a little... That this is not an ego project, but that was an ego moment of like, I wanted you to know.
Yeah. I get it for sure. Those guys are crazy, dude.
My first check ever as an MC from that club bounced.
Yeah,
of course.
As an MC. And that was when it was just Westport.
Yeah.
And it was interesting watching that. It was interesting, like, performing there since Westport, too, because at Westport, Overland Park, Legends. Downtown, you know, and just you could tell the crowds were different at different locations. I never saw or performed one downtown, but I do know, like, starting with that Westport energy to Overland Park to Bonner Springs, it was definitely, as a performer for me, the least entertaining for me. Like, the crowds were just a little more uptight, didn't have as much to give, and yeah. You know, you closed Legends, which kind of, and then that's when they went to the downtown location. So talk about that a little bit. Like, that night, was there like...
I didn't know anything was going on.
You didn't even know you were the last
comic. You were closing?
No, I had no idea. It was like in August or something, and they got a hold of me, and they're like, hey, we're going to do a few, like, local headliners to kind of get us through the summer. To, you know, and then it'll kick back up.
Until we can start paying people again.
In the fall. Exactly. So I believe there was like 3 weeks in a row. I think it was Richard Montano and then Merritt Lemons. And then I was
were the headliners?
Yeah, we were the local headliners.
All right.
So we get through the week and it went okay. And I had some buddies opening for me and stuff and it went all right. You know, we weren't filling the place or anything, but everything was going good. And come in like Saturday. And one of the bartenders or something was like, well, you know, that's it, I guess. And I was like, yeah, we made it through the weekend. And they're like, no, they're closing. Like, this is it. Last night. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't think I was that bad. You know, like, this wasn't my jokes, was this? And, you know, but they're like, yeah, no, we're just done. And then next thing you know, they're just taking shit off the wall and ready to move down to that other
place.
They
knew they were relocating at the time, though.
I think so. Yeah,
so
I think so.
Did
I feel
you
like
mean it, to say they withheld information?
Yeah. I feel like at that point, it was kind of where they were, instead of paying their rent, they just move. Like, I feel like that's kind of the strategy.
That was their strategy.
It's just like, well, we're behind enough.
That's how they ended up in Overland Park. And then Legends was like, well, no one else has taken over this stupid stage with the catwalk space, so I guess you guys can come back.
Yeah, and they fell for it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I looked at that space before we opened here. Just kind of as nostalgic purposes, and it would have been an easy turnkey, but, you know, in commercial real estate, they say never assume a space for the same property, and, you know, also, I just wanted to be in Kansas City. I wanted to
right, yeah.
I wanted to be part of Kansas City. There was a big gap of four clubs at the time, and there was only out by the airport, and there was nothing else, like nothing. So it was important to me to be a part of the community in the city and stuff.
Yeah, especially like people ask where it is. Like we try to say like Kansas City is like, it's not far. We're a city, you know? And it's like, oh, where's the club? Oh, between the airport and the racetrack.
So they told me, this is what the lady told me, and take it with a grain of salt or not, that the first time they left and they went to Rosanna Square, 119th and Metcalf, they were forced out by Legends because Legends was told that that was going to become a medical facility. And and they kind of pushed them out of there. And then when it didn't become a medical facility, they're like, would you like to come back? And I mean, they probably should have stayed at Rosanna Square at that point, but that is a behind of what it was explained to me. And I just told them at the end, well, unless you guys get a community theater who wants to take this place over, I don't know what you're going to do with the space.
Yeah. High ceilings, beige walls, catwalk, all the greatest things you want in a comedy room, right?
So did you know you were closing downtown?
Yes. So
you knew.
So
can we educate people a little bit about what this final space for them? I mean,
so it was if you walked in and it was a dive bar, you'd be like, this is sick. You know, if you walked in and they're like, this is a comedy club, you're like, oh,
somebody is sick.
There's a pool table. You know, it's like it used to be a pool bar. It's like I got rid of a couple, but they still have a pool table. And there's like a brick wall that goes 75% away across, but there's no other sound deading. People are playing pool during shows oftentimes. Like you're in the middle of a joke. Nobody would tell them breaking, you know? And like,
so like, I know when I would do bars and the TV, could you guys turn the TVs off? And sometimes they'd be like, nah, people are going to watch. I'm like, no, you need to turn the TVs off for the show. But you're at a comedy club and nobody's telling them to stop playing pool.
No, they're like, they're buying drinks. We're broke. Then of course they're not going to tell them not to.
Wasn't one of the ways to the patio, like right in front of the stage?
Yeah. Well, wasn't
there a door right there?
Like, so that was when they were in the front. They eventually did something kind of smart. They were like, yeah, maybe we should put comedy in the back and move the pool table in here.
Dude, that's just, it's so to think about because like where they were, I mean, they were not just the only name in the game for a long time. I mean, dude, that Westport room, and then when they had Westport and Overland Park both, I mean, dude, that was pure energy. And they were bringing the best comics constantly and packing these rooms. And when they first went to Legends, it was like a beautiful room. You're like, oh, wow, you know, but still, like, just as long as they were around and just to see it here to end there is a little rough.
It was a poetic ending. It was perfect.
It is.
They were dodging rent forever. They were cockroaches. They always resurface, and they died in a cockroach-infested dive bar. There's no other way. You know how sad it'd be if they died at Overland Park, dude? No. That's how it should have ended.
Yeah.
It should have been me.
but you knew.
So
didn't somebody get shot there?
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Listen, sometimes when the cleaning crew is just simply doing their jobs at 3 o'clock in the morning, because you know Stanford's hired a cleaning crew, and then a fight happened in the street and they ran through Stanford's
shooting guns.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Because you know, if you're running from a guy with a gun.
Yeah.
Why not run into a bar that you have no idea whether or not it has a back exit instead of just around the corner and keep running? Yeah. So it made sense to me.
I do want to kind of reiterate too right now, like Dustin and Bryce aren't just like bitter comedians and they are working professional. Dustin's working he's here all the time, all over the country. Bryce is traveling all the time. He's on like Larry the Cable Guy on Sirius XM satellite radio. You can hear him. He's got a special out. I mean, these are working comedians simply reminiscing the club that they started at and being able to close that room. That's all we're doing.
Richard Montano.
Yeah.
Was the GM of the club at the time. He called me. And was like, I think he called me on Thursday and was like, hey, do you want a headline Saturday? I've never headlined before. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, dude, this is it. And Craig or Jeff had passed.
He had passed.
Know, Jeff had passed.
Not too long
and
before
Craig was sick.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was like, this is like rinse overdone. This is it. This is the last night. And I was just like, I could be the, of course. Yeah. And I got there, and in classic Stanford's form, double booked. Janelle.
Double booked.
Janelle was headlining the entire weekend.
Oh my God.
But in an effort to pay her a little less, they kicked her off the last show. So I show up to headline the last show, and I'm like, wait, she's like, I've been headlining all weekend, you know? But they put my name on a poster and everything. I was like, okay, sorry. Like, I don't have to do it. And she's like, no, fuck this place. Do it. I'll host if you want.
Did she?
And I was like, sick. Well, some of her friends are like, people came to see her.
Oh my God.
There's like, I think 8 to 10 people there to see Janelle.
So like,
and she 10 out gets informed that she's no longer headlining, and then she offers to host for me. And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Dude, we had Janelle on the podcast not too long ago, and we talked about that. She just wants to be a part of comedy. She comes, honestly, especially here too, she'll come with no ego. She headlines, she'll host, she'll feature, guest close out. I mean, she's also right down the street. She lives across the street. So like, she's also our go-to, like in case of emergency, break glass, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And she's so professional and funny.
So the night was chaos. So there's two shows. So Janelle headlines the first show. Second show starts to happen. In between the shows, Janelle's trying to get paid by Richard. And Richard says, I quit. Like, I just quit. Like, I don't have anything to do. Like, he's like, I don't have anything to do with this place.
I quit 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. And I'm like,
right after I took the money.
Richard, you booked her. You're still standing behind the bar. And you're like, I quit. I don't have anything to do with it. You know, here. I don't know what to do. And she's furious. And he did end up finally paying her. And so.
He was going to try to keep her money and buy Coke.
Yes, of course.
Oh,
so
my God.
So he quits. He does end up leaving. And so when the show starts, there's nobody there that works there. Like, we just have Stanfords. We start the show, and like a few minutes into my set, I tell the crowd,
the
like,
employees are gone.
There's nobody.
Servers, nobody. Bartenders.
Nobody. Not a fucking soul.
Oh my God.
God. I tell the crowd, they're like, I'm like, listen, there's no bartender. This is the last night here. Help yourself. Right. And this dude was like, I have homemade liquor in my trunk. And I was like, bring it. He brings in a case of like homemade liquor and is selling it in the room, dude. It was my set was awesome, dude. Yes. And then like halfway through my set or like at some point in the show, I believe, what was the guy's name with the long hair that barked? Keith. Keith shows up and is like.
Keith Rainey?
Yeah, the guy that played guitar and was a bartender there for a long time. I think Keith, I can't remember his last name. Like ponytail guy.
Older?
Yeah.
Keith was a bartender in Westport, did he?
Yeah, and then he like moved to LA for music, and then he came back and started bartending at Overland Park.
I don't think we're talking about the same person.
We might be. We'll look it up afterwards. So he shows up and is like asking around, like, where's the... So he just jumps behind the bar and starts doing his old job. So he starts bartending, and he's just pocketing tips. So nobody's buying drinks. And then after the show, like, everybody's having a good time, you know. Clint Warren shows up.
Oh my God. So
Clint Warren shows up.
Can we just pause and tell people who Clint is in a professional way?
Yeah.
Clint is a proprietor of stand-up comedy in Kansas City. He had ventured and gotten whatever his relationships with them. He had ventured
money
with them and probably gotten burned a couple of times. He also ran his own clubs when they left Hooters Plaza, 105th and Metcalf. He became Famous Johnny's. He had Clint's Comedy Stop out, and he took over the open mic room at Stanford's at Rosanna Square and just ran a small club called Clint's Comedies, and it was great for local comics because it was like features were headlining and stuff like that. So it was Clint is good people, been in the scene for a while.
Yeah, so show's chaos, people are drinking homemade liquor, helping themselves to beers, Keith pocketing tips. Clint shows up. Clint shows up and is like, Where's Richard? I'm like, There's nobody. It's over, you know? And Clint's like looking around. And he mumbles to himself, I'm getting something from these fuckers.
Oh, my God.
Like, they owe me money. So he starts just taking beer out and, like, packing it in boxes. Like, the Glazers have owed him money for years. And he's like, I guess I'll take some top shelf liquor, this third of a bottle of tequila, this fucking, like, building his own six-pack, dude. It was, hilarious. We all just like looted it the last night.
It's like taking jewelry off the corpse at the funeral because they owed you money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's exactly what was happening. You're I'm going to get something from watch. These fuckers and just started loading up.
Where you're going, you don't need this.
It was insane, dude. It's one of the best nights of my life. It ruled.
So you, Janelle, who else was on the show?
God, I can't remember who featured. I wish I did.
Yeah. When did you, what club did you start at?
I was at the one on Metcalf.
Yeah, that's where I started.
Rosanna Square?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one right
before. Oh, you both started Rosanna Square.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think we started similar time.
Similar time. We were pretty close.
I'm 10 years. I think you might have been a little bit before
me. Yeah, I'm at about 11 years right now. Yeah. So.
They were giving a lot of young comics opportunities hosting then, right?
They were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. People that like, that person doesn't know our checks bounce. want to do 5 minutes? Like, that's how they were booking, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, they would short you on checks.
A lot of, like, they'd give you part of it, and then they're like, hey, if you come by on Tuesday, we'll have the rest for you.
But you'd have to call.
Yeah.
You'd be short, it'd be like $20. Like, $20, really, in a call. I thought it was $100. My check only says, $80. I'm like, you fucking signed it, dude. Give me that, it only says 80 shit.
Oh, my God.
And then, come by Tuesday.
They're like, what will this guy not drive out here on Tuesday for?
Yeah. Well, what a lot of us would do.
They'd short you that amount.
Is go to Country Club Bank, because that was their bank. So you go Monday morning, cash the check at their bank.
Yeah.
And so then they would be the ones short on money. The fuckers cashing checks already.
You know, I guess I could say I don't understand that, but I mean, there's, dude, people were definitely paying with credit cards, but it was a lot more cash heavy. So, I mean, I guess if you're taking cash to the bank and you just have no money every week, then you need to put the cash, but I mean,
and also a lot of the cash isn't making it out the door. There's women and blow in there, you know. There's like,
I've had a lot of headliners come through saying that he offered to pay them with hookers or cocaine. Mm-hmm. Like, no, how about you just give me my money, Craig?
Yeah. You know,
I saw him hand a headliner 3 checks. Post-dated consecutive weeks, broke their headlining pay up into 3 checks. I was like, dude, he's going consecutive Mondays. You guys a check.
Banks don't care about dates anymore, man. You got, you know, a check. You just, I couldn't imagine the feeling of handing somebody a check that you knew wasn't going to fucking clear.
Yeah.
Or to say, or even just to be like, okay, can you cash this one later?
Yeah, it's a different kind of person.
And like to have to do that consistently, you know, is a lot.
Dude, I went to Jeff's funeral.
Nobody talks about Jack, the third brother.
Jack was passed by the time I started.
He wasn't there in the beginning. He wasn't there at the end. He was in jail for a long time. Jack, the best way to describe him would like a 5'5" heroin addict who looked just like Rod Stewart if he was a 5'5" heroin addict and related to the Glaziers.
My only visual representation of him is I found a Stanford and Sons shirt. No, I never met him. I found a Stanford and Sons shirt at a thrift store. It's an illustration of the three brothers, and it says, think about it. And I was like, $4? Yeah, that's mine.
So Jack was sweet.
I have a drawing of Jack.
Jack was very sweet, and he caring.
I heard he was the nice one.
He was very, well, I mean, he didn't have to be. He didn't do the booking. He didn't sign the checks. I mean, he could just be a good guy, you know. But I think he was just a sweet guy, too. I mean, he was he was fun to talk to, very caring and stuff like that, you know. So Jack nodded. He felt that he fell asleep.
Oh, like behind the wheel, right?
Driving, like nodded off, I think. And Jeff had a heart attack, right?
I don't remember exactly what happened. Hearted
some, and then Craig had cancer at the end. So, but okay, Jeff's funeral. By the way, Craig's dad didn't go to the funeral, which is
no. Their dad showed up for Jeff's funeral, but didn't come back for Craig's funeral.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's so boy. Yikes! Ouch, dude.
So Jeff's funeral.
Craig emceed it. And I don't say that as a joke.
Say that one more time.
Craig emceed the funeral.
Emceed the funeral.
He hosted. I'm not saying that as a joke because he ran it like a show. Oh, he went up and rambled, you know, and after a little bit of rambling, towards the end of his rambling, he's like, "Yeah, Jeff and I were always ostracized in the Jewish community. You know, they didn't really like us." And then he's like, "Well, you know, so we were never that religious. But anyways, up next, the rabbi." You're just like, "What?" I was melting in my chair, dude. And he'd come up in between.
Come see Dustin Diamond next week.
he was coming up between every person and rambling for a few more minutes.
Did it run smooth?
No. It was Craig. And so he's about to bring up Janie, Jeff's wife. And before he brings her up, he's like, "Yeah, and I saw Janie and the kids at the hospital. And last time I saw Jeff when I walked in, you know, in his room, he was watching my movie, The King of Sting." Verbatim, dude. He says that. And like, so anyways, you know, here's Jeff's wife. She's going to come say a few words. And he brings up Janie. And she goes up. And the first thing she says is like, "Yes, we did see Craig at the hospital, but we were watching the NBA playoffs. No one's watched his movie." Like, they're beefing at the funeral, dude.
It was a book, right?
A book. He said, "Watching my
movie."
That's it. I don't never got something to that regard. Movie. And she was just like, "No, we were watching the playoffs. No one was." Maybe he said reading the book, but no, we were watching the playoffs. No one was like, "My God, brother wasn't reading your book on his deathbed." "I guess I never read The King of Sting." You know?
"Nobody's reading your book, Craig." "Nobody's reading your book.
You couldn't do shit without me."
Was Craig handing out tickets to future shows?
That's the only thing he didn't do. That's the only thing he didn't do.
Yeah, your first like 3 minutes of your host set out there was Craig standing in front of the stage and people lining up to get tickets for future shows. I'm like, this is good stage time right now.
Who was the first, what was your first week in there? Who'd you get to work with?
Brian Dunkelman.
I remember Brian.
Big name. He was one of the two hosts of American Idol. You know who he is.
I know who he was.
He was the co-host of American Idol first season. If you didn't
He's like he was almost Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
So I worked with him at the Legends one time, and it was like it was light, and I'm not. This is not talking bad. And I just made a joke, something like, "Oh, thanks a lot, Brian." This is, you know what I mean? And like, and something. You know, he did not take it well at all.
Yeah, I think it's a very sore subject. Like even to this day.
Oh.
No, the Ryan Seacrest.
Oh no! I was. He did not take well to the lack of tickets. So, oh, okay. Like but yes, right, Brian. So Brian Dunkelman, that's funny. He was with them a while. That was your first?
That was my first, yeah. I hosted for him.
Who's your most memorable?
Todd Bridges, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Todd Bridges.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Todd was the maintenance man on Living Single?
No. He's what you talking about?
What you talking about? Right. He was Willis.
Yeah. He was Willis. And what he's talking about is all the girls he's banged. That's all he wanted to talk about.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what he was talking about the whole weekend. And I had to like pick him up and take him to back and forth to the shows. I think it was kind of like a feature slash host at that. That was out at Legends.
They booked a lot of guys like that. Yeah. I remember when they first started booking Dustin Diamond and Screech and stuff. Mm-hmm. They were like, he hated the Screech. He didn't want to do it. Yada, yada, yada. But then he was selling transcripts of Saved by the Bell after the show. I was like, well, you got to pick a direction.
Mm-hmm. Listen, we booked you to be Screech. You're going to be Screech.
Who was your first weekend?
Kira Sultanovich.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I had a very embarrassing moment with her because, you know, like if you hosted at Stanford's, you were also the headliner's driver. You know, like you... I had to drive them places. And I had a breathalyzer in my car at the time. And I knew my breathalyzer, once you started the car, it was 12 minutes before before you had to blow again, right?
Yeah.
Hotel is 11 minutes away.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, once you get that car started,
we gotta get.
And we pull into the parking lot. I'm dropping her off at the hotel. By the way, in a fucking beat up 2000 Jeep Cherokee, you know.
Did they know you had the breathalyzer on there?
No.
No, you didn't.
They wouldn't have changed anything.
I know, but just if they would have been like, it's fine.
So, And I had a beer at the show, because you could have a beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, wait a couple hours and pass your breath. So I have a beer. I drive her. We pull into the, because she's like talking to a fan or something. And I'm just like, oh God, get in the fucking car. Pull into the parking lot. She's opening her door to get out. Beep, 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 beep. She's like, what is that? And I was like, ah. And I just pull it out and start blowing. And she's like, didn't I see you with a cocktail? I was like, I had one beer. And then I'm just like, dude, she just had to deal with the Glazers. And now she's getting dropped off at her hotel by this degenerate fucking dude with a fucking breathalyzer in his car.
And some of your most memorable, some of the people, like memorable comics you got to work with?
Most memorable.
Like, I know.
My most memorable night there would have been with Chris Frangiola.
Okay.
He was on stage, and I went out to like smoke a cigarette, and one of my buddies came outside and was like, it's getting kind of weird in there. And so I go back inside, and there, like, he had told some joke about prison or something. And some guy in the crowd was like, oh, I just got out of prison, you know? And at some point, like, someone else across the room was like, I'm a cop. And these two guys start like arguing, like, in the crowd. But they're like trying to argue through Chris. He's like, tell him he's a fucking pussy. Tell him like this. And like, he's been on stage for like 28 minutes, I think. And he just goes, you know what, Kansas City, that's enough. And just puts the mic in the stand. And I just happened to be sitting in there, because like 28 minutes, he's doing an hour, you know?
Right.
And I just, but my friend told me, he's like, it's weird in there. And I was like, maybe I should go sit by the door. And yeah, he got off stage. Like, maybe it wasn't 30 minutes early, but yeah, he was just like, this, whatever's about to happen here, not worth it.
In Westport, I got to work with Larry the Cable Guy on his last club tour.
Oh, nice.
Right before, and it was like, usually they would do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, two Friday, two Saturday. And that was, you know, that's what people were doing 25 years ago, 20 years ago. And, Larry had two sold out, every show sold out. I'll just say that, so I don't say sold out eight times, but sold out two Wednesday, two Thursday, three Friday, three Saturday, two Sunday. It was insane, and as a really young comic. But then I got to work with Jim Jefferies and just J. Chris Newber, so many great people there. You know, Lynn Cobb, mm-hmm. just a lot of really, really great comics I did get to meet through there. And you know, to watch Porter come out of there, and just, well, coming up watching Gaither and Leon and Inman, and coming up with Baldwin and Finney and stuff. So we do talk, but I, you know, that still, that's the roots. And I know that there's a lot of great comics that did come from there, despite them and what it became and stuff like that. So thanks for coming in here. I just, you know, it was fun to be able to sit down and kind of just talk about, they've come up on the show a couple of times, but to be able to talk about the closing, the actual ending of the Stanfords, you closing Legends, you closing the club. Where can people find you online, Dustin?
Just Dustin Slentz on Instagram. I don't really.
S-L-E-N-T-Z?
Yep, S-L-E-N-T-Z.
Bryce?
Bryce Stanley Comedy. Instagram.
All right. For Bryce and Dustin, the Comedy Club of Kansas City, this is the Comedy Club podcast. I hope you enjoyed this inside look into a little bit of the history of comedy in Kansas City and our predecessors, and a little bit of what we've had to overcome changing the reputation for just comedy in Kansas City and getting comics into the city as well. But all right. Subscribe. We'll see you next time. Bye.